1340 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. The search for victims continues after Friday's catastrophic flooding in Central Texas. Centerpoint Fire spokesman Razor Dobbs.
Now, since we have a little bit of drying out, we can get some heavy equipment to where we can start picking through these debris fields. We're still looking for possible survivors and fatalities.
The death toll stands at 110, with more than 160 people still missing. The flooding, a topic at this morning's confirmation hearing for Neil Jacobs, the president's pick to head NOAA, Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
We ought to be asking what lessons can be learned and what can be done more effectively to protect human life.
Officials in Ukraine say Russia launched its largest drone attack of the war so far overnight. The BBC's Paul Adams reports from Kyiv.
The military says an air base at Lutsk in the far west of Ukraine was the main target. But it says huge numbers of drones were shot down, along with seven cruise missiles.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A coalition of Milwaukee faith leaders, immigrant advocates, and labor groups are calling for charges against Judge Hannah Dugan to be dropped. They're gathering today for what's called a vigil at the federal courthouse. Organizers say the charges are baseless and warn that punishing judges could have a chilling effect on the justice system. Supporters say they want to show solidarity with Judge Dugan. A magistrate judge recommended Monday that the case should go before a jury. Milwaukee wants the public to become dumping detectives. A new City of Milwaukee website now lets residents help identify illegal dumpers caught on camera, with a $1,000 reward for successful tips. The move is part of a citywide push using hidden cameras and higher fines to tackle what officials call a crime of laziness. There's a recent report about emergency services across the state, and it isn't good, especially in rural areas. There is a new program that may provide some relief. Terry Barr has more.
If you're facing an emergency, you want to know you can count on your local EMS and firefighters to help. But the results from a survey of Wisconsin fire chiefs shows there are problems, and it ranges from responding to calls with less staff than required and not having enough funding to pay the expenses. UW just created a rural EMS outreach program.
Service that's provided by the government, there's different ideas on how to fix it, but there's a general consensus that there's a lot of challenges in this space. There's a lot of funding issues in this space, and there's a workforce issue in this space. That's agreed upon. Just how do you get to those solutions varies a little bit.
James Small is now tasked with working with all sides through these challenges. His goal will be to increase the future sustainability of these important rural services.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A win for the Miz and McGill. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Dodgers wrap up their series this afternoon in Milwaukee. Last night, the Miz, rookie pitcher Jacob Mizorowski, followed by Jared Koenig, Abner Uribe, and closer Trevor McGill, held the struggling Dodgers to just one run in a 3-1 win over LA last night. It was enough to leave the Dodgers' Clayton Kershaw at a loss for words.
I mean, the three guys that came out of the pen for them, plus him, I mean, I don't think we saw a fastball under 98 today as a team. I mean, this was just a tough game.
The Dodgers have now lost five in a row. The Brewers, Mizorowski, gave up a solo home run to LA's leadoff batter, Shohei Ohtani, then proceeded to strike out 12 Dodger batters over six innings to beat the three-time Cy Young winner, Clayton Kershaw. I spoke to the Miz after the game.
You know, I saw something on online that he didn't know who I was, so I hope that he knows me now, you know. It's kind of cool.
That's Brewers pitcher Jacob Mizorowski. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to 78 for a high this afternoon, with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 78. We do have a chance of scattered thunderstorms on Friday with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th.
Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling best of show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, we'll talk to Sandra Goldschein of the Campaign for a Family-Friendly Economy about the real harm that's going to be done to families under this new federal budget.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up in just a little bit. Crew hosting the Dodgers again. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. You can listen to the game, but you need to listen on terrestrial radio. So catch all the action on WBZH in Hayward, WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, and WCQM in Park Falls. Crew hosting the Dodgers today. Our broadcast starts at 12:35. Coming up this hour, no more shoes. We'll talk about flying shoes, flying with shoes, shoes flying, in just a little bit.
Shoe fly shoe.
After the news at the bottom of the hour, we will come back with audio survey, as we always do. It's a little opportunity to take a cleansing breath, get away from the news, and have a couple laughs.
Yeah.
So today's audio survey is, do you pajama?
Or do you pajama?
Or do you not at all?
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe you wear something else.
Hey, all I ask is that the responses stay not TMI.
That would
and
be nice.
FCC compliance.
That is always important, yes. So do you pajama is our audio sorbet coming up after 10:30.
Yeah.
And we will wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's, is a rose by any other name really a rose? A rose is a rose is a rose. Is it?
Yeah, I'm not calling it that completely. That's a long
title. It's a long title. But that's coming up around 10:51-ish. So stick around for that. Great news, everybody.
Yeah?
Great news.
What's up?
The mass deportations will continue, and they're not going to spare anybody, but it's all good because Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins has the answer on what's going to happen. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Brooke Rollins. Let's take a listen, please.
There's been a lot of noise in the last few days and a lot of questions about where the president stands in his vision for farm labor. The first thing I'll say is the president has been unequivocal that there will be no amnesty. And I think that's very, very important. I and the rest of our cabinet certainly support that, effectuate that, and make sure that happens every single day. The second thing to your question about mass deportations, the president and I have spoken about that once or twice, and he has always been of the mindset that at the end of the day, the promise to America to ensure that we have a 100% American workforce stands, but we must be strategic in how we are implementing the mass deportations so as not to compromise our food supply.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the answer on this is automation,
yes,
also
yes,
some reform within the current governing structure.
Okay.
And then also, when you think about, there are 34 million able-bodied adults in our Medicaid program.
There it is.
There are plenty of workers in there America, but we just have to make sure we're not compromising today, especially in the context of everything we're thinking about right now. So no amnesty under any circumstances.
No.
Mass deportations continue, yeah, but in a strategic and intentional way as we move our workforce toward more automation and toward a 100% American workforce.
Jane, really quick question as a follow-up, because I wish I was there right now. Because
I would
ask Secretary Rollins, I wanted to call her Brooke, Secretary Brooke, the following question. Do you feel like you could describe the last, we're now six months into this administration. Would you describe the immigration policy as intentional and with good, like as she described it, with good with intention and proper planning and whatnot? Would you call it that? Would you say that?
It's been a mess.
It's been a mess.
It's been an absolute disorganized nightmare.
So what leads you to believe that they will handle what she's talking about right now with any sort of measure of long-term planning?
None. Yeah, I have very little confidence in that, but I think the really important piece there is the 36 million people who are on Medicaid who apparently don't deserve to get those benefits because you're lazy. So good news, there's jobs going to be waiting for you.
In the fields. Yep.
We have talked to Will Sue, who is a ginseng farmer in Wisconsin. We have talked about how labor intensive it is in that specific instance to grow ginseng.
Yes.
They have to be tended by humans.
Yes.
There is no way right now, and correct me if I'm wrong, maybe there is, but I don't believe there is. There is no way right now to automate the work that those ginseng workers are doing. There just isn't.
Well, I listened to a response video to this yesterday, and the woman clearly said on here on the video that the jobs that are automated in the farming world have already been done.
Right.
There is a certain point to which humans need to be in the process. Okay, so let's take that perfectly logical statement, Jane, and let's put it to the side and pretend like it's a lie. Fake news. So, in order for farmers then to automate more, or maybe give small farms the opportunity to automate more because they can't afford to do it, so that's why they actually have people on their teams, they're probably going to need incentives, tax credits, tax breaks, maybe even, you know, just the ability to purchase with maybe a governmental loan that you can spread over more time at a lower rate. With certain things that say, like, hey, you must do X, Y, and Z to get this to be qualified for the...
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be impossible now because you've taken all the ability to take tax money, divert it into programs for farmers, because you're allowing billionaires to write off their private planes. So... I don't know. This is the administration of great intentions, but with no plan whatsoever. And by the way, I also just want to say something real quick here, because I know I'm getting real, real squirrely today. This narrative of the, quote, able-bodied on Medicaid is never fully fleshed out to talk about the fact that individuals who are on Medicaid aren't... This isn't 36 million people sitting on their butts, eating chips, playing video games, doing nothing and collecting a check. These are people who have jobs, too.
Yes.
These are people who work for companies who we give tremendous tax breaks to, who say, you should go on your state Medicaid program because our insurance isn't good or we don't want to cover you in the first place.
Hello, Walmart.
So really when it comes down to, let's really talk about those 36 million able-bodied people, because I'm sure they would love to have a job that was better paying, that gave better benefits, but we don't require that in this country. Therefore, they have to go on state Medicaid and they're still working. They're the working poor and they're the people you now just want to quit their jobs and go work in the fields, probably for no benefits
and no insurance
and probably less money. I mean, this is shameful again. This is disgusting. And she stands there with this might in her voice to say, like, we will. I mean, I've never heard a person speak with more confidence of draconian, horrific treatment of individuals in mass deportations with no amnesty, But man, we're going to get people working.
Well, like the lazy people.
Yeah,
the lazy people.
So we're gonna drive to Walmart. We're gonna once ICE gets rid of all the undocumented people, and that's all done. You know, America then starts becoming great. It will only get better when they redirect those ICE agents to businesses across this country to snatch those workers who are on Medicaid off their jobs, whether it's the assembly lines of Amazon or the warehouses of Walmart, and put them in the fields to say, "Hey, I like avocados. Keep picking." What is this?
855-752-4842. If you would like to join the conversation, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins yesterday says, don't worry, we're going to continue mass deportations, no amnesty, and worried about all the immigrants that are picking produce in our fields. Don't worry about it. We have people on Medicaid who are going to do that, apparently. According to this administration, 855-752-4842. Sue from Franklin texting in, listening on WAUK. This is a thing that frustrates me. Reporters don't ask hard questions to this administration. And if they do, they get some BS answer. They don't push back and ever ask the tough questions. You're absolutely right.
Correct.
And
correct.
They don't do follow-ups.
No.
They just take the answer and then someone else moves on. I would love to see some other reporter continue the follow-up question from the previous reporter.
Unfortunately, and this is the thing, is where you have to separate the reporter almost from the media outlet, because I am sure that these individuals want to ask the follow-ups and pressure for hard answers and really get, I mean, and it, either get an answer or expose them for being liars and frauds, which Brooke Rollins is. But they have bosses, and those bosses have bosses, and those bosses have shareholders.
And they want access.
Or they also have buddies in the White House, and they're being told, we don't want to lose our access to the White House. Just go easier. I'm not telling you can't do it. Just go. But what's easier then? Where's the definition then? And that's the hard part, is that I guarantee you that a lot of the individuals in that White House press corps want the truth. They want transparency. They want answers. But they're having their hands tied by the corporate outlets they work for. And
there's certainly a piece of that in there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 855-752-4842. Dinah from the Wausau area is on the phone. Good morning, Dinah. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Hello, this is Dave.
Dave, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
On the topic of the Medicare and Medicaid issue, I have a renter in my house who's like 58 years old. He's about 375 pounds. Obviously, he's on Medicaid, and he's also on full disability. He works part-time, like 4 hours every morning. So if they take a disability, if they take Medicaid, how is he going to pay for his medical care? And say he works for Sue's Ginseng, he's going to have a heart attack out in the field. Who's going to drag his body off?
Yeah.
Is there going to be a workers' comp claim?
Yeah, it's Dave, there's – I just feel like this administration likes to come out and say – here's the fix. Super easy. Let's move on. Without, again, and I've gone back to this from the beginning, they don't look at what happens if you do A. Then what is the potential B? What is C? What is D? What are consequences from these decisions? I don't think they look that far.
No, and Dave, thank you so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it, Dave.
So much for calling. I'll give you the canned response that would come out of the Trump administration if your renter had to go in the field and, God forbid, passed away while working. They would say, it's a terrible thing that happened, but some people just aren't meant for that kind of work, I guess. Or it was a terrible thing that happened, but he did what he could to help us. It would never be an admission of guilt.
Ever.
Of wrongdoing in their planning. Planning. I'm sorry. I use that word very loosely. But it would be because they don't care about those 36 men. They would have them work for free. They would take them off Medicaid immediately and throw them in the field and say, work and be happy you got the job.
And
you can eat some food from the field too while you're at it.
Well, and the other thing, and we've talked about this previously, how are they going to determine who deserves to be on Medicaid or not? Are they meeting individually with these 36 million people? No.
No.
From what I understand, it is going to be about the paperwork.
Yep.
That's how they're going to filter through who should get Medicaid or not without knowing the specific cases and what is involved.
MyVote.wi.gov. Talk to your leaders. Talk to your representatives.
Give them a call.
Give them a call.
Say hi. See how they're doing.
Be nice.
When we return, shoes.
I love
flying.
Them. Yeah.
Flying shoes.
Oh.
All coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. New Mexico rolled out its automatic voter registration system July 1st, allowing citizens to conveniently register to vote or change residency information while at the DMV. Across the country, New Hampshire's legislature may burden its elderly and disabled absentee voters by requiring copies of ID when voting by mail and citizenship papers when registering by mail. New Mexico passed a sweeping voting rights bill, HB 4, in 2023. Among its provisions was automatically registering citizens to vote at the motor vehicle division, previously only an option. AVR has been successful in other states in registering younger voters and may expand registrations of the state's native voters as well. Local election officials will send newly registered voters their voting districts and precincts and how to opt out if they choose. New Hampshire, despite having next to no fraud, abuse, or non-citizen voting, has gone the other direction. Legislators sent bills to Governor Kelly Ayotte mandating proof of citizenship be sent with absentee registrations and that absentee voters must include copies of an approved ID or have their signature notarized. Such onerous rules adversely affect seniors and disabled voters who may not be able to make copies, and younger voters and college students who may not have ready access to those documents. Voter fraud and non-citizen voting are extremely rare, and such rules serve to keep more eligible voters from voting than ineligible ones. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. And now, if you have the Civic Media app, you can not only call and text directly from the app, but you can leave us a voice note. So do that as well. And again, join us at 855-752-4842. After the 10:30 news, it's Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news and just talk about silly things for a little bit so we can all take a collective mental breath.
Yes.
Do you pajama?
Do you pajama?
Do you pajama? That's what we're wondering about. I'm not trying to get any visual images or anything. It's just what we're... Do you pajama? There are people who love pajamas. They say, I see at Christmas time, it's all by pajamas. So we're talking about pajamas after 10:30, and then we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Is a rose by any other name still a rose? Is a rose is a rose?
His edition.
Edition of Tisbet. That's around 10:51. This came by, and I think it's something we can all go, yay. We can all agree on this, I hope.
Yeah.
We don't have to take our shoes off anymore.
Like,
when you go through the airport.
Like, immediately?
According to WLWT5 reporter Sean McKinnon, at least in Kentucky, a surprise midweek policy change in effect at airports across the country. If you are flying, You can now keep your shoes on while going through TSA. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says TSA put the policy of no shoes into effect in 2006, almost 20 years ago. This is all goes back to 2001. And the one guy who tried to set explosives in his shoes on fire, Richard Reed.
Wow.
Didn't work, but it was enough. This was, again, 2001 to institute this policy. So we have all, if you fly, if you've flown anywhere in the last 20 years, you know this about the taking off of the shoes. Now I guess we don't have to do that. Homeland Security Kristi Noem says new technology like biometric scanning makes shoe removal obsolete. We've added new scanners, new technologies, more TSO officers in some areas. Real ID also gives us another layer of security, knowing who is going through our checkpoints and who isn't. When asked if the no-shoes policy was security theater, Noem said everything the TSA does and requires their travelers to do has always been necessary.
Until this very moment when it wasn't necessary.
When it wasn't necessary anymore.
Why do they even talk sometimes, Jane? God.
Noem says rules like taking out your laptops and the liquids and bags are still in place for now, but Homeland Security is reviewing them.
Great.
So that might change too.
You know, I'm just going to say this right now. If this would have been the Biden administration doing such a measure, my thought would have been, shrug, okay, why did I just pay $75 for TSA pre-check? The fact that the Trump administration is doing it, it's now what my answer is, shrug, why did I pay $75? So I'm just going to say this. I didn't care either way who did this. I just think it's ridiculous that after nearly 20 years, still had to, which I'll tell a short story.
Okay.
A couple years ago, I was flying, and they were very, very understaffed at the check-in. And at one point, a lady just gets up and says out loud, keep your laptops in your bag, keep your shoes on your feet, keep your belts on. We're not doing that today. And I'd always thought that this seemed like rather arbitrary, these policies.
Yes.
That declaration from a TSA worker confirmed my beliefs that it's Tuesday. Leave the belts on. It's fun.
It's interesting that you say that because when I flew to see my friend in Texas in March, in Milwaukee, I had to take them off, not in Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it really did seem to be kind of arbitrary depending upon where you were.
Yeah.
But at least for my husband, who has a spinal cord injury and he is not very bendy.
Yeah.
That was truly a pain.
Yes.
Taking his shoes off and putting them back on is not a poof, poof, slide him on, slide him off. That's not how he has a spinal cord injury. It affects his life.
Yeah.
So this is nice. But too, that's why we had global entry. So we were able to get around that.
Yep. And I have TSA pre-check. And I also would towards the end, what I would do is even in cold weather, I would travel in shorts, flip-flops and a t-shirt. There was as little to take off as possible. I could flip the shoes off and put them back on because if you're in Milwaukee, you're always getting caught in the recombobulation area. That's a plug for Dan Schaefer. Trying to get all your stuff off the conveyor belt.
Yep.
Cause it goes from, I've got a backpack to four things of
bins.
Crud.
Yeah. Of stuff.
So yeah, I don't know. It's like, great. This could have happened 15 years ago.
And by the way, Drake Bentley in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, recombobulation area to remain at Mitchell Airport after shoe policy change. So we will still have a place to recombobulate
also,
even without the removal of shoes.
And if you can't do that at the airport because you need a ticket, you can always recombobulate with us on Fridays at 10:20 or 10 o'clock with Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's award-winning political editor.
You can also subscribe to the recombobulation
area. See, Dan, how we did that? Turned this entire story into a plug.
It's a deal, though.
Yes, it is.
It's a great deal.
Absolutely.
All right, we have news coming up next, and then when we return, as we promised or threatened.
Audio sorbet, a promise or a threat.
We're not sure. Do you pajama? That's coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on this Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Law enforcement from across the state will descend on Waukesha County Friday. Preparations are underway for the funeral of Milwaukee police officer Kendall Corder, who was killed in an ambush June 26th. Visitation and funeral services will be held at Elmbrook Church in Brookfield, followed by a 10-mile processional to the Wisconsin Memorial Park. Officials expect a significant turnout and say the officer's final resting place, chosen by his family, overlooks a memorial honoring other public servants. A Whitefish Bay Republican is in the governor's race. Bill Berrien, a Navy SEAL veteran and business leader, has entered the governor's contest. In his announcement, Berrien said his campaign will focus on conservative principles, manufacturing revitalization, and opposition to the current governor's policies. He's the latest Republican to join the primary, alongside Washington County Executive Josh Shulman. Governor Evers hasn't yet said whether he plans to run again. Wisconsin was one of the 50 that didn't have one. Now with a new budget, we do. Joanne Krulatz has more.
The governor's newest budget will include $5 million a year to go towards a state film office and creating film and TV production tax credits. Action Wisconsin founder Katie Heil says Wisconsin was missing out on plenty of opportunities because it didn't have a film office or tax incentives. Heil says having the credits will also help attract and retain the type of talent that usually had to leave the state in order to pursue a career in film or television. Prior to the governor including it in his budget, Wisconsin was one of just three states that didn't have a film office.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at waukradio.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Mark Ruffalo has taken shots at podcaster Joe Rogan, insinuating that Rogan is late to the game with his ICE raid outrage. The Kenosha-born Ruffalo said it's a little late now to pretend like Project 2025 didn't exist and wasn't the playbook all along, saying about Rogan, you are either not that smart or not that dumb. It's hard to tell at this point. Ruffalo has a host of projects set to drop in the coming months, and despite a solid performance as always, is still probably trying to forget he was part of Mickey 17. AMC Theaters recently announced they would play more commercials before movies to help offset a budget deficit. That's probably not something most moviegoers wanted to hear, but in a move in the other direction, beginning July 8th, the movie chain will offer 50% off tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The chain has also announced they will offer discount popcorn and soda on those days. This will allow the movie-going public to save a few bucks while still trying to add a few extra pounds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Plenty of sunshine today. We'll get to 78 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the northeast at 5 to 15. Clear tonight, 63. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 78. We do have a chance of scattered thunderstorms on Friday with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had some, I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Sally Flores, a DACA recipient. We'll explore what it was like watching the 2024 election unfold and what it's like now watching Donald Trump attack immigrants from coast to coast.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
I'm a hot mama jammer, a jammin' my pajamas. I put on my pajamas and then I go bananas. I'm a hot mama jammer, a jammin' my pajamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B, bringing it. Coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, Brewers are going to be hosting the Dodgers in a little bit. Our broadcast starts today at 12:35. And if you would like to listen to the game as the crew hopefully take another one from the Dodgers, our broadcast starts 12:35. Listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM Park Falls, and our newest affiliate in Hayward, WBZH.
We've already won the series because we took 2 out of 3 games. If we sweep the Dodgers,
you'll just be over the moon.
I will be in hog heaven.
I know.
I will be in hog heaven. I'll be so happy.
We'll be talking sports tomorrow.
Yeah, we will.
At this time.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully we'll
take a back seat, Bucks. Brewers time.
Hopefully we'll have another victory to talk about tomorrow when we talk a little bit about sports. Right now, though, it is the portion of the program we call Audio Sorbet. It's where we lighten things up to take a breath. Cleansing for the ears. A cleansing for the... Just a break for your brain.
Break for our brains,
break for
too.
Our brains, too. That's not a bad point. Do you pajama? This is apropos of absolutely nothing, but it was something that came up last week.
So, no, it was...
Well, off the air when we were kicking around in the office before we came on the air.
In this room, and we have a television that plays behind us running the news, so it's no wonder we're always in such a bad mood. And there was just a commercial with a gentleman wearing traditional pajamas, which, you know, the button-down top and,
right.
and the pants. PJ pants.
Yeah.
And I just found it interesting that it was such a, I'm going to say it, old-timey image. Because I don't think I know a single person who wears traditional pajamas. Like the button-down. And I'm gonna speak from the men's side of it because, okay. But even women's versions are the same thing. It's the button down, long sleeve shirt, and
the same
pants.
Kind of. But if you're gonna, it's a nightgown.
A nightgown, which I would say is monumentally more comfortable, in my opinion, because for me personally, I do not pajama in the traditional. I mean, I wear what I would call my PJs, and that's just, sorry folks, a pair of shorts. Because anything beyond that, I'm tossing and turning.
It's too much.
Can't wear a shirt in bed. It's just weird. And people who are like, I slept in my clothes last night. I'm like, how did you sleep at all then? Because
I don't get that
seems
at all.
Impossible. So the image of a gentleman just wearing his pajamas, being like, I'm about to go to bed now. I'm like, wow, they're still doing that?
They look so neat. They look so neat.
Yes, absolutely. They're not wrinkled or like, you know, there's not a button missing.
Yeah, freshly ironed pajamas.
Exactly.
I'm sure it's different if you have children. If you have kids who might be walking in your room in the middle of the night or waking you up in the middle of the night, you probably wear more traditional pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
I don't know. I mean, no.
Or at least have a robe nearby.
No, growing up in my family, my dad wore shorts to bed, too. And he didn't wear... No, we never wore a shirt.
My father wore pajamas.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's... I think our parents are different ages, so...
Just by about 20 or 30 years. Do you pajama? 855-752-4842. If not, like Greg, what substitutes for your pajamas?
What are your PJs?
What are your PJs?
855-752-4842.
Breaking down the really important topics right now during Audio Sorbet. I love the commercials when I see them at Christmas because that always seems to be buy mom new pajamas and a fluffy robe.
Yeah.
Or they used to sell some really, really expensive like pajamagram things. Those were like $95.
Oh, yeah. Those are still around. Like, you want your husband's face on your pajamas? And I'd be like, I don't want anyone's face on my pajamas. There was a great SNL sketch about that where it was, you know, it was a four person family. The dad got a watch. The kid got a laptop. The other kid got a smartwatch. And the mom's like, I got a robe.
Oh, nice.
Like, just that notion of, like, get mom a robe. Is that what she wants?
And how many robes do you go through in a year?
I just have the one robe that I literally have had the same robe for, like, 20 years. And
right.
It's comfy. It's wonderful. And I will never get rid of it.
And it does the job.
Exactly.
Of a robe.
Exactly.
Do You Pajama, 855-752-4842. Sarah from Green Bay. Listening on WGBW, I love the long t-shirt type pajamas. I own at least 10 of them.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's like, I feel like that's a modern take on a nightgown. Is that right? Yeah, nightgown.
Yeah,
nightgown. Because, yes, you want to be covered, but you also don't want to be constricted. And I feel like traditional pajamas restrict you. Yes.
If you would like to join this earth-shattering conversation, Do You Pajama at 855-752-4842. Whistler from Racine is on the line. Good morning, Whistler. What pajamas? Yes? No? Some other thing? What are you pajamaing in?
I wear just my drawers and a tank top.
There you go.
And I'm comfortable, light blanket over me. The wife, she wears a nightgown and tucks herself in. That's just bizarre.
You should talk to my husband, Whistler, because he says the same thing about me. He's nuts. In the house, I wear a sweatshirt because we have the air conditioning on and I'm always cold.
Yeah. Well, why don't you turn the air conditioning off?
Because then
it
gets too hot.
Oh, my God.
I'm just happy the way I am. Leave me alone. Right, Whistler?
Sweat too much. And I'm in RC. Richland Center.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, not Racine. Richland Center. Sorry about that, Whistler.
Yeah. Ah, my arm is
sorry about that. Appreciate it. Thank you for calling in. You can join us as well at 855-752-4842. Do You Pajama? If you don't, what's your alternative? Jesse from Dane County listening on WAUK. I do not pajama. Haven't since high school. I've got to be free to move while I sleep.
There you go.
And John from Oshkosh listening on WAUK. How does Greg know nightgowns are more comfy? I'm a shorts at night guy, too.
I got two answers for you, John from Oshkosh. One, it just seems like a logical conclusion. It's a flowy piece of fabric.
As opposed to a pair of pants.
Exactly. And two, if I knew, I'd tell you, I am not ashamed.
See, and plus, I can't do nightgowns.
Plus, also, men used to wear nightgowns. They used to wear a long...
Watch Scrooge.
Yes, exact. Watch any version of A Christmas Carol, and you will see the long frock that men used to wear to bed, along with a hat. I don't understand the hat. Why would you wear a hat to bed?
That's a really interesting question. We'll have to look at that. John says, no judgment, friend.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's no judgment.
Do You Pajama at 855-752-4842. If not, what do you wear? When we were kids, I think that was a Christmas thing for us. We always all, because there were six of us.
Yeah.
So we all got, like, matching pajamas of some kind or another.
Yes.
And ours... I believe I always got nightgowns. I never did we didn't get the top and the bottom PJs.
My sister, who, by the way, happy birthday, Amy. Today is her birthday.
Happy birthday, Amy.
Even to this day, and the kids will be 20 and 24 this year. Still, every year, always get new pajamas.
Really?
Yeah. And it's they open them on Christmas Eve.
And they wear them.
And they model them, and they're like, look at us. And, you know, they're essentially adults, but they still love that tradition of getting new pajamas, especially for my nephew, Ben, who went from being 4'5" to 8'11". He is a tall drink of water of a human being. But, yeah, I mean, I think that's fun. But it's also a T-shirt and what we call cloud pants. They're very soft. They're
cotton.
No. Well, yeah, yes, but, like, there's even softer. Like, there's a soft, yes. So every year they get those. And those are their pajamas, and they would wear them until the next year and whatnot. But, yeah, there's more of a tradition than, like, well, it's time for me to get ready for bed, and I must take my watch off and wind it for tomorrow.
Put on my Tuesday pajamas.
Exactly.
Do You Pajama, 855-752-4842. Calvin, resident young person, I'm curious what things are like in the Butenoff household.
Well, I've never really been a big on pajamas. I just, as Whistler put it, I sleep in my drawers. I'd like to have, I need to have a t-shirt on because I don't like the feeling of my arm touching my bot, like skin on skin of myself for whatever reason.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I don't really like pajamas. I know my dad is the same way. He just wears underwear and he takes his shirt off. My mom, I think, wears a nightgown. But yeah, we're not really big on pajamas in my house.
I can't nightgown.
Is it weird that every time I think about someone having a night, whether it's a man or a woman, I just also think of them holding a candle with the, like, the
with a hat on it.
Yeah, like, ooh, it's spooky down here. What woke me up tonight?
I'm a very restless sleeper, and my legs go, I'm kicking all over the place. And nightgowns drove me crazy. It just drove me crazy. So I wear a t-shirt. I wear a cotton t-shirt.
I don't think so. I think because of the CPAP and I'm sleeping deeper now, I'm getting better sleep. I don't think my legs kick as much as they used to. But I used to kick my legs so much that I would wear a hole in the sheets.
I've done that.
Yes, you have. Okay, that's fine. Admit it.
And almost every morning when I wake up, the corner of the bed at the bottom is out.
Especially when you're in a hotel, because you're like, I feel like I paid for this. I paid for a more convenient sleep.
Hotels are so bad that I have to go loosen it up from the corner, because they're so tight when you stay at a hotel.
I like the tight.
That it's going to fight me back.
But at the corner by the pillow, it always comes up. It always comes up, and then you do that weird thing where you try to lift your body with one motion to try to get it back down. But that never works.
That's not gonna work. No, that's a nice try, but
Yeah.
Do you pajama? 855-752-4842. Bill from Waukesha says no.
All right. Well, there is an answer.
Au naturel. Fair enough. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I mean, if
you're comfy.
That's a confidence I'll never own, but, you know, hey, you do your thing.
Happy.
To quote John from Oshkosh, no judgment here, friend.
Yes, no, everything in between.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, honestly, like, if you want to wear the traditional pajamas, go for it. If that's what you're comfy with, if that's what you like, then, hey, do your thing, jelly bean. I knew somebody who used to sleep in full pajamas, and she wore all the things you would wear during the day as well, including socks. I don't get it.
Wait.
Yeah.
She would wear a bra?
Yeah. Yep.
To bed?
Yep.
To sleep?
Yeah.
And she slept?
I guess. I wasn't there. That would be weird. Because I'd be like, hey, I need to experiment and understand why you're doing it. But yeah,
you don't want to.
And it was in that tone of like, yeah, it's just what I do because that's what I'm comfortable with sleeping. I'm like, I don't understand how you could be comfortable sleeping like that. But, you know, again.
No judgment, friend.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Do your thing, jelly bean.
No judgment.
Live your life. I'm just going to assume all those who didn't flood our phone lines or text lines with calls and texts with information on this matter, they all wear flowy nightgowns.
You think that's what it is? With a cap?
Men, women, and my non-binary friends, they all just wear, and a cap.
And a cap.
And pince-nez, like the glasses that go on the bridge of your nose. They're all people who lived in the 20s.
Whatever.
That's what I want.
Okay. If that makes you happy.
It makes me so happy.
Last word, Calvin, or are we good?
Well, I just think that, not that I've never worn a nightgown, not that I'm saying I wouldn't be open to it, but they're historically, I think, neutral gendered.
Yes.
Grandpa Joe from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory wears a nightgown.
Yes, he does.
Good point.
I think all of them do.
All right. When we return, we will wrap up the show with this shouldn't be a thing. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network.
I put on my pajamas and then I go banana. I'm a hot mama jamma. I jam in my pajamas. I put on my pajamas and then I go banana.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, Treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
That say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we're still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Thursday already.
Whoa.
We had a short week.
We had two short weeks.
We did. So, but tomorrow is Thursday already. So that means that Jim Santel will be here, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review. He has a great show on Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 across the network. Lots of things to talk about with Jim Santel.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
regarding immigration and legal immigration and oh, there's so many things trying to keep track of. So Jim Santel will be here in hour number two. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist, will be back for a little weather and wine. And then is it JR tomorrow?
Tomorrow is JR Radcliffe.
JR Radcliffe back. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk all things sports. Hopefully, we'll be talking about that sweep.
Yeah, Brewers sweep. Do it. Hopefully I believe in you, the Brewers.
Yep, the Brewers will sweep the Dodgers today. That is all coming your way tomorrow, so I hope you can join us for that. Right now, though, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays at civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane says at civicmedia.us. Calvin, again, finding this one from The Verge. Headline reads, and there's no byline on this, unfortunately. The headline reads, AI is ruining houseplant communities.
Are you? What? Well, I don't understand what the laugh is for, because you're a houseplant person. You love plants.
I love plants.
Yeah.
I guess I laugh because it seems ludicrous to me.
Okay.
People are seeing AI-generated images online of plants that don't exist. And then they go to their local garden center and say, I want the black bleeding heart, like I saw online.
It's a terrible name for something.
Well, there are bleeding hearts. They're white and pink. But AI generated a picture of a black bleeding heart. And yeah. So we have people showing up gardening stores going, I want this plant that I saw. It doesn't exist.
So at that point, shouldn't the person holding the picture in their hand or their phone in their hand go, oh, my mistake, I'm sorry, and walk out and then just live their life in quiet contemplation of the choices they make?
But the bigger problem is plant care misinformation is being regurgitated by AI chatbots and apps. So if you're going to, like, clip your leaf cuttings to help them grow, or you want to use cinnamon, AI is now a part of a larger misinformation ecosystem that includes plant influencers. Plant influencers exist. Well, they are citing sources that don't exist.
Yeah.
Sound like the Trump administration. And repeating plant care myths.
I mean, it makes total sense. Well, no, let's take the walk to this. We have the internet. We have social media. In social media, we have influencers. We have influencers for darn near everything.
Yes.
There shouldn't be any shock that there are plant influencers. And just like exercise influencers and music influencers and news and politics influencers, misinformation is going. There's no reason why the plant talk, if I'm going to start, I'm calling that.
I like that.
I just called it that. Plant talk.
Plant talk.
Shouldn't be the victim of the same thing. Of course, there are going to be people out there who are going to either misuse their expertise for various reasons, usually for paid promotion, or people who don't know what they're talking about speaking out of pocket and saying, hey, get yourself a black bleeding heart plant. And whatever.
And pour salt on it.
It doesn't matter to them what you do, because they want your engagement, they want your comments,
they want the click,
the share. And they definitely want you to come back and say, hey, this isn't real. This is AI. How dare blah, 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 because it's all engagement. That's all the things matter.
That's all that matters.
So, of course, plant talk has a rot in the roots.
Oh, look at you.
You listening, WBA?
Most plant communities on Reddit actually ban AI-generated images. Very strong feelings against AI-generated plant care advice. Some community members say it's just wrong and don't take human variables into account. Plant care varies where the plant owner lives. If you're a beginner or you're more experienced, and certainly the conditions in your house and all of these things play into this. I guess the whole point is be a little more suspicious.
Do two Google searches.
Two, yes.
And also, be nice to the people at the plant store if you've fallen victim to this hoax. And also, poor people at the plant store who now have to educate themselves on this aspect of life. They just want to be in the plant world and love plants and talk about them. Now they have to rebuff and defend now. And Tony Zimmerman has a great fix for this whole thing. If you have black paint, then you can have a black bleeding heart. Perfect. Thank you for providing solutions, Tony.
Tony, we'll just go to him.
Exactly.
We'll go to Tony's and he'll answer everything for us. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here. We got news coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Days 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
CBS News Brief. Dangerous hard work going on in the Central Texas flood zone.
We've been finding remains since day one, and it continues now. Sometimes it takes rappelling, it takes getting down there. You have to be very, very careful.
Local fire official Razor Dobbs, Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Camp Mystic, the river is hundreds of yards away from the cabins. There's a lot of space there. And yet you looked at the cabins, and in the cabins, there was 8 foot of water.
Camp Mystic's emergency plan was approved 2 days before the flooding. At least 3 deaths are reported in New Mexico flooding. Philadelphia has worked out a tentative 3-year contract with striking workers. Reporter Ross DiMattei.
Union workers, some 9,000 of them here in the city of Philadelphia, could return to their job sites as early as today. And that includes picking up the trash that is mounted all over the city of Philadelphia.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.